Jamie Chaney, you're a Democrat running for Congress in New York's 19th district. It's a primary. So what is it in your particular background, either education or family, that leads you to do this?
So, Alan, as I mentioned, my father was the deputy mayor of Philadelphia at an right. incredibly, incredibly contentious time. And it created an option set for me. It's one of the reasons I actually think it's very important that people see themselves reflected in people in public office, because it means that when you think about how to tackle issues in your community, you make the default assumption that you are someone who can step in and do something. So that's the background to which I came to it from. My more recent professional history is that I built a company that supports working parents. I have spent my career doing this work.
Could you tell us just a little about the company?
Absolutely. So as a young mother, I very quickly saw that the workforce didn't work for working parents, and particularly in the financial services industry. What I saw was, as I looked around at colleagues, they would leave one at a time. And what utterly shocked me, Alan, was that as I probably watched this occur hundreds of times, never once, and this is just over a decade ago, did I see a company say, is there something we can do to change? Yet then those companies would go to lament their lack of workforce or the workforce they were losing after spending literally millions of dollars training women in their 20s. I stepped right into the middle of that fight. During my maternity leave with my third child, frankly, during some of those late nights when you're up with an infant, I sketched out what a solution would look like that supported this and addressed this challenge. And I left my secure job and I went out and I built it. And the solution is that we identified three sets of benefits that we very specifically have make a difference in the ability of a working parent to stay in the workforce and to be a functional part of our economy. Those are subsidized healthcare for all employees, even those working on 60 or 80% schedules. Those are subsidized or backup childcare arrangements. And then the third is flexible schedules. My company has done two things. We advocated for and lobbied financial services companies across the state and across the country, large and small, to put in place those programs. We did it by showing business cases that ultimately companies would be more successful because this would decrease their turnover costs and drive to their bottom line. We knew there were positive outcomes for working parents, but it wasn't until we could bring the other side of that argument to the table that we were successful with companies. A decade later, that business model has changed successfully. Companies have realized that in today's tight labor market, they need to be able to differentiate. So now we are brought to the table by companies to say which benefits packages should we invest in if we are serious about supporting working parents. I am so incredibly proud to be the phone call that the financial services industry, and now to some extent other industries as our word of our work spreads, to be the phone call along with my partners that companies make when they face that challenge.
So let me ask you a specific question about this primary. What differentiates you from opponent Josh Riley?
There are several things that differentiate me from Josh Riley. For those of us who have seen us in person, the obvious thing is going to be our height. Josh is a good foot and a half taller than me, which when we're presenting together makes for some interesting microphone situations that we repeatedly laugh about. But quite seriously, the biggest differentiator is I have spent my adult life building businesses in this community and building from scratch businesses that support working families. I've been here for just under a decade, building a cattle business with my family. My opponent has only recently returned from Washington, D.C. I am the only candidate in this race who has built or run a business in the Hudson Valley, which I think is an important differentiator. I also think that I know the 19th community well. It is the community in which we do a lot of our agricultural work. And this is not a community that is looking for someone from Washington to come and tell them what they think the right policy ideas are for our communities in the 19th. The communities of the 19th are looking for someone who they have physically seen do the hard work of running a business in the Hudson Valley. It's something that has come out in many ways. We've already heard from people ready to cast their first Democratic vote ever, lifelong Republicans, because they have physically seen me do the work in building a business. The second piece is that I have a track record of delivering for working families. And when we spend time on doors, which on my team, we do a mix of doors. I think even in our Democratic primary, it's incredibly important to be connecting with Republicans and independents, because if we don't do that, we lose the narrative. And it's to represent this entire community that is what I and my campaign is running to do. And what we're hearing is that there are three issues on the ballot this fall. There are three issues that people are worried about right now. One is rail. I'll touch on that in a second. Second is guns. And the third is the cost of living for working families. I have a track record of going out and building something that has directly brought down costs for working families and given them the ability to function in today's economy.
My next question is leadership. And I ask this question virtually of everybody I talk to. Would you support Nancy Pelosi, who's much in the news right now on a trip to Taiwan and all, as the Democratic House leader?
You know, Alan, what's interesting, and I mentioned the time we spend on doors, which is a lot, and it's what I feel is the most important part of the campaign, because we're running to represent people, so our job is to listen. That is not a question that we are hearing. What we are hearing, and it's something that's driven me to run from the beginning, is that we need leadership and representation that is more connected to our rural communities in the Democratic caucus. We need representation who can make sure that some of the very, very well-intentioned policy that comes out of our primarily urban representational leadership in Congress has the insight as to how that policy will be rolled out in rural areas where life looks very, very different than in our deeply urban centers. And that's what we're hearing about on the doors, that we understand there's been policy to support working families in the most recent Congress, but it hasn't spoken directly to the way that life looks.
So is that a no? So is that a no?
Towns and communities.
So is that a no? Is that a no, you won't support Nancy Pelosi?
I will support leadership, but I will do it with a view to bringing in a rural voice.
Let me ask you this, because we only have a minute or so to go, and it's unfair, but health care. Can you give us an outline of what your health care plan might be?
Health care is a crisis in our country. I look at the healthcare crisis from two ways. One is cost. Healthcare costs are crippling our working families. There is no question, and I am optimistic that it will be resolved in reconciliation, but we have to give Medicare the ability to negotiate on prescription drug prices. And then, frankly, we need to take that savings right away and use it to support our seniors' dental and vision and hearing costs. We know that that is a huge, huge part of the expenses that our seniors on fixed budgets are facing. The other piece of healthcare access, and this is what I'm touching on when I say that we need to put the rural voice in, is great, we give you healthcare that you can afford. That doesn't matter if it's 2 hours away. Alan, 90% of the new 19th congressional district is an OBGYN desert. That means that someone would need to travel over an hour for the care that they need. And obviously the OBGYN statistic is top of mind for me in this moment when we're talking post-Dobbs, but we need to think about what healthcare looks like in our rural communities, and we need to put that dialogue into the national conversation. This means mobile clinics. This means not only investment in telehealth, because investment in telehealth doesn't work if you don't have broadband coverage. So this means finally fighting successfully to bring these infrastructure dollars back to the areas of the 19th district, and we have almost entire counties that do not have reliable broadband coverage. I believe that healthcare is a human right. I believe that it is something that we need to do much more as a country to support. But I believe that we need to look at access in the broadest definition of the word.
We've been
from cost to the ability to actually access the services.
We've been talking to Jamie Cheney, Democrat running for Congress in New York's 19th district. She's involved in a primary. Jamie, we have one more conversation together, and we'll come back and we'll do it.
Looking forward.